This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All the time, brother. Everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
And welcome to WorldCast. It's not quite a regular WorldCast. It's a special episode of WorldCast. It's a return to an old concept. Yes, the old concepts never die. They just, you know, come back every once in a while, get recycled. Yeah, we haven't beaten this horse dead yet. It's been a while. We're doing a watch along. Like in the old Mystery Titans Theater days, you know, that was quite fun. And we haven't done it with World Class yet. And so you can hear Johnny Sorrow in the background, so he's obviously here. Mm-hmm. And conspicuous by his absence is Pete, who I believe is still a watch-along virgin. He's keeping his virginity.
It was never his biggest love when we started doing this, our Mystery Science Theater ripoff shit that everybody does.
Yeah.
Because we always like, let's watch bad wrestling and laugh at it. And it's enough for Pete to watch bad wrestling and podcast about it, to do both at the same time. And it's not his speed. But to be perfectly honest, though, I had completely forgotten we had moved our recording date as well. So fair is fair.
Yeah.
And therefore, much like Eric Bischoff on the latest Table of Three on the network, which is, by the way, what we're watching for the World Class, I've had a few. I've had a couple.
I'm on my second one, but Johnny, you're probably way ahead of me. Yeah, Pete, you know, he never did a Mystery Titans Theater. I remember we tried to do a watch along of the Paul Bosch retirement show, the WWF one, and that fell through too at the last second. So, oh well. All right. So tonight we are looking at, what is the date here? December 18th, 1982.
Yeah.
1 week before Christmas Day.
Yeah. It's the go home TV before Star Wars. Yeah. This is the last TV before the big Star Wars where everything changes.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Where everything changes is next week. And looking at the content of this episode ahead of time like I did, because I'm a goddamn professional, it's clear that Pete's not missing anything.
Well, are we ever missing anything? we've had some highlights for sure, but most weeks have been pretty.
But what I mean by that is the focus is on one thing and one thing only, and we've already seen it last week. It's more about getting people to Star Wars to see Carrie versus Flair. That's what this is. So it's the perfect choice for a watch-along, you know, if you ask me.
Yeah, so Johnny pre-watched. So, yeah, he's a pro. I'm still keeping it real, calling it in the ring. I haven't seen this. I do know the main event. That's all I know, just from the description on the WWE Network. So this is all new to me.
Don't count on those descriptions they put up for these shows, because I've read a few of them and gone, that's nothing like what happened.
This
World Class.
That's true. So this is number 52 of the World Class show, December 18th, 1982. So folks who want to fire up the network at home and do this along with us, get ready. We'll do a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and go. And on go, press play, and we will do this. So let's see. I better be ready here. I think I am. 3, 2, 1, go. And here we go, indeed.
It's amazing. One of the first things you still see as they're about to take off is fucking Hussein.
Yes. This hasn't changed since like week, I don't know, six or seven, the opening.
Yeah.
It's all footage from, I think, even before we started watching. Oh, my.
Look at that beard. It's like we said last time. He's an extra from Roots on the bad side.
Yeah, exactly. It's an interesting choice, that's for sure. I have a bit more respect for him with that beard. Kind of reveals.
Do you?
Maybe. Maybe he's a little more hip than he appears. But, you know,
Brown, he's trying something.
He's trying something. Anyway, Saldi, of course, vanished last week into limbo, not to return until 1987, apparently, or 88, maybe. So
yeah. It was because of his comments about David Manning, but we're seeing a recap now of Dragon attacking David.
This was a few weeks ago. I've already forgotten.
Yeah. Of course you have. And David Manning being ineffectual. Oh, big takedown of David by the Orientals.
Right.
With a lot of people cheering. Oh, that's why they're cheering.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I remember this. Carrie's big
that's right.
Save.
Because it's all about Carrie. That's what he's saying right now.
Oh, did we just get a message from Pete?
Yes, we just got a message from Pete. It says, go on without me. Already did.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, we're going to have to fill a lot of time with... Oh, here we go. Brooks versus Adias. Checkmate Dragon versus... God, that's the most depressing thing. Kabuki, well, we got the Great Kabuki versus David Von Erich.
That could be a very good main event.
Mm.
Oh, it's our favorite drifter, hobo.
Yes.
Ex-con, Killer Tim
God,
Brooks.
Look at that. God, look at that jacket. Look at that jacket on Lorenz.
That's
what
amazing.
A zero.
The 70s.
What is worse.
Yeah. The 70s. Yeah. Still
I don't know what's
alive.
Worse. His, hair, yeah, his haircut or his jacket.
Yeah. It's like Jack Briscoe's from the Hidden Gems a few weeks back or a month or two back.
But I wouldn't make fun of Jack Briscoe. Tear your fucking head off.
Unreal.
Killer Brooks looks like he took a shower.
Yeah, he's a little more clean than normal.
Yeah. Brian, he's a little conditioner.
Brian Adias. Adias.
Yes.
Just rolls off the tongue.
It's terrible. I do love, like, you gotta call him Brian Adidas. Okay? We'll just drop a D. Adias, which is just no spark to that name whatsoever.
Yeah. Ugh. It's no, well, it's fitting for the personality that he has.
None.
the name pretty much matches completely now. Jeez.
Yeah. See, sometimes I wish guys would live their gimmick, and right here I wish Killer Tim Brooks would live his gimmick and actually kill him. Guys, it stinks. I can't stand him. Ugh.
Yeah, well, he's in for the long haul, isn't he, Adias?
He's a mainstay.
Yeah. Maybe he comes and goes, but I know in 87 he's there when I was reading the wrestling mags as a heel.
He eventually – because everyone eventually has to turn on the Von Erichs, mm-hmm. you know, and it's diminishing results from Chris Adams down to Brian Adias.
Yeah, wow, yeah. And 1987 is considered like – one of the rock bottom periods for the territory, too, right? So it's fitting.
Right. Well, a little later, Iceman Parsons does it, and that was pretty good, you know, but Adias was like,
Ric Flair, I'm proud to be the cloud. I'll let you know that I'm proud to be the cloud. But after I get hold of you, Ric Flair, there'll be no cloud because I'll be the champion.
Let's just back up a second.
But the biggest thing is, remember we were joking about when Jay was putting over that Waxahachie was a tough area. It's Waxahachie. And Mercer was like, they've got a lovely downtown. In this, he says, it's hard to believe that Brooks comes from such a nice, sedate town like Waxahachie.
Yeah.
Oh, big test of strength.
I know. The commentary is another thing that just is never going to improve, is it?
Not too much of my recollection. Eventually, I don't even remember, but like I know that at the first Parade of Champions, it's Lorenz is on commentary. So I don't know exactly how it goes back and forth, but I don't think they ever they never had an ace.
No. Mercer was fine, like, you know, until you start watching every week, and then...
Yes, then, and paying attention.
Yeah, and paying, then you notice that he's really not that good. But no. When you watch an isolated match here or there, you don't really notice that much.
Right. Oh, I didn't notice how awful he was until we started doing this. But I'm also the same guy that used to go, I don't see why everyone bitches about David Manning. Now I know.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. There we go. Look at that fella. Nice fro, brother.
Beautiful cross-section of Dallas.
I like the guy in the back with a cigarette in his mouth that no one will say, hey, no smoking, sir.
Still a lot of empty seats. Very... clearly visible, but I guess this match probably wouldn't get everybody in there.
Well, you think there's a bunch of hillbillies outside that tin shack smoking dope and going, hey, man, we got to get in there. Killer Brooks.
Brian Adias is wrestling. Oh, that's cue to go.
Hey, Santa Claus is there. Look. Right in the front row.
Yeah.
When the front row. Yeah, exactly. He's when the front. No, there's actually elves there. You just can't see them in the 6, 7, 8, and 9 empty spot next to Santa. Front row empty.
Wow.
Hello. There's my boys.
Yeah, that's shades of the Showboat Pavilion for the AWA empty.
Yeah. Well, that's those were being saved for the high rollers who didn't care.
Yeah.
What are those being saved for?
Yeah, this is one of the more empty crowds I can recall seeing. Like usually in the back you can notice a lot of empty seats, but it's rare that the front rows, the first few rows, are full of empty seats. But
yeah. Girl's like, great. Well, honey, we're gonna save our money for that big Star Wars show.
Yeah,
we're not going to this bullshit.
So true. 1 week away from, you know, the big change, and you can't really tell that this is, or this isn't a hot territory at all. This is just...
You know how Brian Adias is a white meat baby face in the 80s? Drop kicks.
Yes.
Lots of drop kicks.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Oh. Ugh. Time limit draw. Well, that went by fast anyway.
Oh, no. See, Brooks cheated to get the win. But yeah. Santa Claus is pissed off. Fuck you, Brooks. Wow. And here, see, Bronco's here to correct him. God, Manning looks like, Manning looks like Baba Booey.
They've done the referee correcting the other referee thing so many times.
Yeah, but you know Bronco loves correcting David because he knows he's a little fucking pissant punk. So he loves being like, David, you fucked up. I told you. Ugh.
So what was the finish exactly?
Here we go.
Let's see.
Forearm.
Okay, so it was a painted pin. Ugh, but yes. So hard to tell.
The camera...
I couldn't even tell Manning was counting.
There it is. sort of, kind of the cheating.
See, I thought it was a time limit. I just thought they were struggling over a hold.
Well, no, see, that's those vaunted world-class production values you've heard talking about. Right there.
That was a little too close to the action. It was confusing. Totally confusing. Both sides speak out.
Both sides, oh boy, ugh, God.
Both sides are...
I'm sorry, that beard's disturbing. He doesn't look like an academic. He looks like a weirdo. Now that's a dashiki.
Oh my.
Now that is a dashiki. Now, I'm going to tell you what they're talking about here. Okay. This is Gary Hart and Hussein wearing the groovy dashiki. And he's basically saying why... Hussein got involved in the match that he did. And Hussein's explained that he has good eyes and he saw that David Von Erich's sleeper hold is a chokehold. And they're playing it real straight. He's like, look, I'm calling exactly like I see it. I have very good eyes. I have good eyes. It's a genius at promos trying to tell a story to a guy and lead him into an answer right here of a guy who's shitty. And you can see it in his eyes. Okay. Look, he's checking the camera. Gary Hart's eyes are checking the camera. He literally talked him through this fucking promo.
I really don't understand why Armand Hussein is still employed.
It's amazing. Gary Hart is literally directing him here on camera. It's awful, but it's a testament to how good Gary Hart is at this shit.
Oh yeah, totally.
Except for right here he says, "Good night, sweet Lucy."
You know, Hussein is so useless. I don't understand. Like,
look at the look in his eyes. That's a man who knows that he's useless. Look at him right there. Does he look excited at all?
Somebody must have liked him.
Now he's smiling. You know, but Jesus.
Why was he considered valuable? He was totally.
I don't know.
Redundant. They didn't need two managers.
Think about it. There's a cast of 12 with two managers. Why?
Yeah, managing the same
guys.
More or less. I mean, it's so dumb.
Well, we know why. It's because Gary Hart isn't. I'm sure Gary Hart's not hitting the spot shows, and he's down the booking. Oh boy, now that is an '80s fucking jacket right there. That's like this. That's like the Steamboat's Mid-Atlantic gym jacket that I own.
Yeah, so, or the famous Ribera Steakhouse jacket.
Right, right.
Satin. I'm assuming some sports local team, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, he's got a pin on there, kind of army. But he's basically saying, you want to call it a chokehold? Fine, call it a chokehold, but I'm still going to put it on you. Which, again, David Von Erich, best promo of the Von Erichs.
If you were just watching this and you didn't know the date, you'd swear this was still the 70s because everyone.
Of course you would.
Everyone looks still the 70s.
He looks like he should be an extra Dazed and Confused while running around with a paddle, paddling kids' asses after Little League games.
Yeah. The fashion is totally still so 70s. Look,
Bugsy and Madrill get their rematch against the H&H Camp.
All right. Good old Al. Look at how many empty seats there are.
Look at that. Holy shit.
Unreal.
Holy shit. I really actually wonder if they said, are the Freebirds booked for this? We're not coming. Because it seems when the Freebirds were there in the previous shows, the place was packed.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably part of it.
Oh, God. Look at Bugsy. He's fucking dumb. Goggles.
Yeah, he hasn't. He a few months ago he was adding stuff to his wardrobe every week, but now he's settled in.
He's looking over Lorenz's shoulder. That has to make Lorenz very uncomfortable. Just amazingly uncomfortable. There's Tiger Mate. Tiger Mate.
Oh my God, Dragon!
Oh no, you! Oh, I need a shot. Bugsy just kissed me. Ugh, no tongue.
All right.
There we go. I'm
sure, we've seen this match before.
I know I have. Because this, like I said, this is when I started watching this shit on demand, and I remember thinking, God, there's just nothing but Al, Bugsy, Checkmate, and Dragon.
Yeah,
it's never ending loop of suck.
It was,
despite how talented some of these guys might be. Al's quite good. Checkmate is quite good. I like Bugsy at times. Dragon stinks. But when you're just the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, I mean. It's such a thin roster. They've added a few guys, but, you know, not too many. Bugsy's been there since the beginning for us. Al. Dragon came in, I don't know, a few months into it. Checkmate's relatively new.
He's relatively new, but he already feels old.
Yeah.
Already feels old.
True, because he's been on TV every single week. Yep. And, yeah.
Well, it's funny. On the commentary, he's talking about the people who are native Texans, and native Texans like Al Madrill. And then he goes, you know, he's not from here, but you think of him as a native Texan now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think you can just be thought of as a native Texan, or either you aren't.
I like how Al's selling this like, oh, Jesus, I drank too much last night.
Maybe he did. Or he's just thinking,
oh, hey, whoa. Oh,
this guy's very
naughty,
vocal.
Nice.
I don't think we've seen him before.
No, Sam is new.
That's strange, because he's so old, you'd think he'd be going to the shows for years and years.
Yeah, you know, Santa Claus is a busy guy. He only gets to catch one wrestling show a year, and this is the one he chose. He chose poorly. Ooh, I've heard this Texas territory is about to catch on fire with these fabulous Freebirds who have been very good boys. But they're not here? Fuck.
Yeah, they basically took the whole month of December off. I guess they were working a few other territories.
The whole Bugsy's going after his stupid mask. which then leads... Oh, God. What? That distracts the ref and lets Dragon... Oh, this match is not well.
No.
Yeah. Big knee drive... Al, Al. Al's doing the finger wave. Al's doing the Hogan. Hogan ripped that off from him. Oh, Al. Look at Al. No. He's trying. He's pointing. It's a choke, ref. Bugsy is so... He's so ineffectual.
Yeah, he's kind of moved away from the comedy matches, and now they've got him back into more serious stuff, and
it's not
working.
Oh, look, Santa is furious at checking.
So pissed off.
Look at him. Oh, nice kip up by Al. Oh, Santa Fan is now my favorite guy. That guy is into this show in a big, bad way.
Yeah.
He's good on him.
Loves good old Al, that's for sure.
Because Al's never naughty. Checkmate and Dragon are getting coal in their stocking. No. There's working over Al. Because, you see, here's the thing. Al is Ricky Morton right now. And on the corner, you have Bugsy McGraw, who is going to become the world's worst Robert Gibson in just a little while. God bless Al, but he's not that great at garnering sympathy.
No.
Because he's bigger than they are.
Yeah, and they're really, what are they doing? They're working on his arm a bit, chin locks. Nothing too serious here. Al's good. You know, he's fired up, Al, but yeah, he's pretty stale.
At some point in this, he screams for the hard camera to hear, "No, my arm!" It's just poor Al.
Okay, come on,
Al. Well, that's just it. Look at him. Al is like, looks like he's a good 6 inches taller than Checkmate, and he's having a really hard time here.
Yeah.
And he's a good 2 feet taller than the fucking Dragon, who should have been in the midget match we saw.
Yeah, the psychology stinks here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's
oh, my arm. My arm. He's a regular Olivier. So.
Ric Flair, I'm proud to be the cloud. I'll let you know that I'm proud to be the cloud. But after I get hold of you, Ric Flair, there'll be no cloud because I'll be the champion.
Let's just back up a second.
Pete would be saying, you guys are assholes. Look at this amazing limb work going on.
Somehow doubt, though, he would actually have said that. think Pete would have fallen asleep.
I think we'll just leave the falling asleep thing right there. That's for you, the audience. Again, ineffectual Bugsy. He comes in to make a save and does no damage. And God, this match is long.
Yeah.
It's just nothing but Al getting beat up by two small guys.
Yeah. No, there's nothing to it. There's no stake.
No, here we go.
No one cares.
Well, Santa cares.
I don't even know what the feud is anymore. I don't even think there is a feud, really. I guess it's kind of Bugsy and Checkmate. Is it?
Sort of. There's still the remnants of H&H versus Bugsy, I guess.
Yeah. But that hasn't been anything special for quite a while. If it ever was.
It wasn't special to begin with.
No. It's caught on for ages now. No progress.
Ugh. Just from a week-to-week basis, as a fan back then, you'd be just, it's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to be excited about Ric Flair and the Von Erichs and what have you and stuff, but when everything else is just the same thing over and over. Uh-oh, here we go. Bugsy's bugsying up. He's peppering him with pachyderm-like punches. Big wind-up. Oh, what a hit. What an elbow.
Big elbow.
They love him.
Except for that one chick. She's pretty bored.
Yeah, well. Oh, that's disturbing. Bugsy doing his little thing. Fired up Bugsy with no sound on is very disturbing.
Here we go. Look out.
First time I ever saw Bugsy McGraw was in a magazine, and it was something from Florida. And it was like, he was Jimmy Valiant's partner, and I love Jimmy Valiant. So I was like, oh, this guy must be, he's just like Jimmy Valiant, right? Well, sort of.
Wow. That was almost a code red before the code red had been invented. Oh, I know. Stereo sunset flips. It's over, folks.
Yeah, Bugsy. Oh, well, hello. Bugsy with the code red.
Look at that blonde. She's just. Yeah, totally no selling it.
Oh yeah, the hot blonde is just like you drag me to
beneath her. Yeah.
Oh, and the call from Bill, Alma drilling the checkmate, win the match.
Well, he got half of it right. Look at this.
they're trying for some complicated shit here that they should not be doing.
Yeah, no, that was.
They pull it off. I mean, they pull it off.
Al's off the top rope sunset flip. That wasn't done that much back then.
Oh no, that's.
But yeah, all in all, it's just another meaningless match.
Just
Kerry versus Flair, really?
This is a world-class thing where they go to the roster to get their opinions on things.
Oh, dear.
We'll see. Yeah, it's okay when it's championship matches. When it was very odd, it was, how do you feel about Gino dying? Which came back a few years later, which was very weird.
Really? They did?
Kayfabe TV? Oh,
dear God.
Yeah, they didn't go, it's all show, we loved them. They had to work around kayfabe with it. It's so stupid. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, I can't believe they would do that. Actually, I mean, knowing what happens.
They do that? Yeah. And then they cut right to, here we go, it's Bundy. But then when they do that, they cut to, because they just done the breakup of the dynamic duo and Gino had blinded Chris Adams. So after all of these comments in kayfabe-ish ways, they cut to a blinded Chris Adams being led to his car by his wife being taken back to England because his career's over. Like, that's just as real as Gino's death.
Right.
It's
so
fucked up, man.
Yeah, it is. That was. It's one of the more fucked up things anybody's ever done in wrestling.
Oh, love me tender. You know that's Al. It's yes, it is, Al. Baby. Yeah, it is. That Elvis t-shirt is out fucking standing.
Yeah.
And it says, love me tender. on it. It's got the king in the white jumpsuit. Fuck, that's great.
We need more segments about Al's record collection and his love of Elvis.
Well, what he's doing here is he's stumbling over his words, still talking about how he and Carrie are tag team champions of the world. I'm like, really?
Well, they very well could be. They have only three or four.
Hey, Wild Bill.
Tag titles.
Wild Bill. Yeah, one of Wild Bill's lines here, which again goes to he's totally miscast as a cowboy. He was like, when you're in the ring, you need to be able to explode. And the Von Ericks, I don't think they have enough explosions like Ric Flair. Oh, Bugsy.
That came out of nowhere.
He mugged Doctor Who. He mugged Tom Baker.
I was saying he hasn't added anything to his wardrobe, but no, he did. He has added this. Some I picture like an old one of the old lady fans knitted
it for him.
Yeah. It looks like something my grandma used to make. Afghans. I would always get Afghans.
So are you saying that your grandmother was a big Bugsy McGraw fan?
Maybe. I don't know how she would have seen it in Saskatchewan, but okay.
Now what everyone wants. Checkmate. Look, check it out. It's sort of chess stuff on his jacket, but it looks like the graphics from Atari's Adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Does he keep this tiger mask for a long time?
No, it doesn't even make sense. I mean, he's a chess master with a tiger mask.
Yeah. Ugh. Did he not know about tiger mask? I mean,
I don't think they gave a shit.
I guess, but it's still.
Well, I think he must have known, and they're like, "That looks cool. Let's do that."
I guess so. They probably remember. Totally, you know, didn't understand why Tiger Mask was. Oh no, we're getting this again.
Yeah, they're showing this again. The Flair Fritz thing, which again, that this show's a throwaway show. This is the most important thing, and as we mentioned, it's Ric Flair doing a promo war against the father of his opponent at the big show.
His glistening blade scarred forehead.
Look at that. Just Vaseline.
The worst look of, even worse maybe than like 2007 era Ric Flair. it's just, like I said this last time, you know, women found this attractive.
Well, you know, well that was always the thing with Flair, when he was like, oh, ladies love me. And I was always like, really? I mean, apparently so, because he's, But then look at this. Then look at this mess of a human being. If you had a choice between, you know, having to fuck Ric Flair in his bad suit or Otis the drunk here from the Andy Griffith show. You want to talk about a comb over. That's just a comb forward.
Yeah. It's awesome. Everything about him is like oversized. He has huge hands, huge ears, huge nose.
a big, but you, Flair, you got a big tongue.
Yeah.
Find out. Also, all you got is a big tongue. Look at all that fucking grease in his hair.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a man who's taking a lot of shots in the head and then in the professional wrestling business, though. That's an ugly mug right there.
Very much so. But no, not the scarred up forehead that a lot of the vets had.
No, he didn't.
He must have been careful about it. Or maybe he didn't bleed too much.
Maybe. Not everybody did.
Some guys were totally against it. Jack Briscoe, he rarely ever bladed. He was pretty against it. But look at Flair's forehead.
Look at Flair's forehead. See, now that's the forehead from a guy who just got his first shot at being the NWA champion and is touring every territory.
Yeah.
And is expected to get juice every night to get over because he's having trouble getting over.
Right.
At the time as the new face of the NWA.
Yeah.
And so he's in St. Louis, he's in Dallas, he's in Crockett, he's wherever. And most of those nights he's probably gigging.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I remember in his book, he talked about, I think it was the 86 or the 87 Great American Bash, one of them, the tour, Where he bladed like 30 straight nights or something.
Oh,
like that.
Oh, fuck yeah. Because yeah. That went, I don't know if it was 30, but it was a lot. I was the first one.
Yeah.
The kickoff in Philly was against Road Warrior Hawk. Right. Oh yeah. He bled every single show.
Yeah.
Dude, that medallion looks like the one that burned inside of the Nazi's hand in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I guess if Flair wants to defeat Fritz, he'll have to put it in his hand, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because he's the Nazi.
Listen, you moron. my son Kerry's got balls like this.
Oh, my God.
It is weird when you actually look and go, I see the family resemblances. You know, like, I don't know. That's an old David. If David hadn't died in a hotel in Japan, he'd look like Fritz now.
Yeah. David is the one he looks like. Or David resembles father the most, that's for sure. And in height, too.
Flair does turn it up. I love that 10 pounds of gold. That's always fucking cool. Oh,
totally. When I was young, I thought it didn't compare favorably to the other belts, but as I've, you know, gotten older, it's definitely one of my favorites.
Well, when I was a kid, I was real, like, I hated any kind of change. Yeah. So when they introduced Big Gold during the 87 bash, actually, is when they introduced Big Gold. I hated it. I thought it was too big and ostentatious.
Yeah, I think they'd already brought in Big Gold by the time I started watching.
That's when I remember it. It was definitely 87-ish, 86.
I think I thought, if it's bigger, it must be better. So I thought, you know, but I was
stupid. Oh, dude. When Vince turned up the production values on Superstars and Wrestling Challenge and all that shit, I hated it because it was a change.
Hmm.
Like, look at this suit. It's his Puma suit. God, Hussein sucks.
Yes, he does. Very much. He's just so bad. At everything.
I mean, the Dashiki's okay, but not, I mean, I guess he's trying to do a. Speaking of Run DMC, the previous episode, he's trying to be modern with his breakdancing suit. Oh, here comes David. Oh, he's not tonguing anybody.
No.
This time.
That was kind of Carrie's thing. David.
David has to kiss grandmas. That was it.
Yeah. Fritz didn't want him. Oh, look at... See the...
Yeah, see the girl? There's a girl with a purple shirt that just says Carrie on the bag.
Bronco. He was kissing some ladies on the way down, too.
Look at Bronco. That's a handsome old man. That slick hair, that mustache.
Yeah. And on the previous episode, I said he was from Poland. He was actually from Hungary.
Hungary, okay.
Yeah, I went back and checked.
He's close.
And, he did referee quite a bit in Houston. The other night I had a friend over, and we watched a lot of those Houston matches you and Pete went over, and Bronco was the ref for quite a few of those. So he probably was actually the ref for a couple NWA title changes, like he claimed.
No, so what's funny about that conversation is when you guys went into that, I was checking notes. I thought you were talking about David Manning was claiming that he had refereed two championship matches, and I was all ready to go, fuck David. Oh, no. Oh, you guys are talking about Bronco. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Bronco, that's a big match. Is it for the All-Asian title?
It's for the All-Asian title.
That doesn't there's no physical belt.
No, there's not. That was getting off to a hot start.
Mm-hmm.
Well, both David and Kabuki are great. We haven't seen a ton of David yet.
No.
But we've seen a lot of Kabuki. We know Kabuki's good. And David's really good, so.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we've already seen him wrestle three times.
I was going to say, and I know, I'm pretty sure that the last time they wrestled, they did have, like, a really good match. I think one that I claimed was, like, one of the top 10 matches we've seen so far.
Oh, he misses the dropkick.
So, yeah, this one could be good.
Big chop to the forehead by Kabuki, similar to the one my roommate accidentally gave me in the face last night on the porch. that was walking, and he was giving directions to his son without looking, and karate chopped me right in the fucking eyeball.
That probably hurt.
Well, it did, because he's like, he's all into taking martial arts right now, because he's the same age as me. He's the same age as me, but he's into like getting into shape and everything. So he's out there doing all kinds of fucking combat fucking shit. And so his pointing, hey, pick that up, got me in the eye, like Kabuki would have gotten David Von Erich right here. Look at that hillbilly there. You don't give a fuck.
Nope.
There we go. Get the claw.
Ric Flair, I'm proud to be the cloud. I'll let you know that I'm proud to be the cloud. But after I get hold of you, Ric Flair, there'll be no cloud, because I'll be the champion.
Let's just back up a second.
This isn't bad.
No.
You know, it's hate-filled.
Yeah,
it's...
exactly. Fought like a bro. Like, yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. They're in a feud.
It doesn't mean anything.
It means... somewhat. I mean, it's part of the whole, I guess you could say, the Perry bounty thing.
But. Yeah, it's, I guess, it's just, but like from here we go to David being part of the Freebird turn, and then that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that they eventually turn Kabuki face by putting him with Sunshine.
Oh, like, that's right. That's awesome.
Better than Hussein.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's like this, the battle of the claw versus the nerve hold. Oh. Oh, boy, here we go. I always hated this sort of shit in wrestling, because I was like, you're obviously not getting the fucking hole. Oh, see, but yeah, he goes for the stomach ball. Look at Hussein. This dumb with. He's the worst.
He is.
Hussein appears to really not even want to be there anymore, and I don't blame him. He's got to know his time is up.
I guess
there's no use for him. Hart's got to be, you know, Hart's going to be gone soon. So if Hart's gone, there's no use for fucking H&H. And the Freebirds are about to turn this place on fire. Jimmy Garvin's coming in. Chris Adams coming in. Skandor Akbar. He's not long for this world.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, how much longer can he possibly...
Can't be very long.
For? He's totally forgotten to history. Like, nobody ever talks about Ron Hussein. I don't think I even had... I'd probably heard of him before we started watching this, but I...
I knew about him because of watching this show.
Right, but... you'd actually seen it. I've seen the big matches.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. That was the first time I had heard of him, because I never remember him being mentioned in the magazines.
No.
Ever.
Yeah.
Where does one get a full giant red jumpsuit? And that?
I don't know.
That is something else. Remember when, like, I said these guys have great matches?
Yeah, but then that's the thing with Kabuki. You get... great Kabuki, and then you get boring Kabuki a week later.
Yeah, maybe they announce them that way, so you know what you're in for. You know, from the melting pots of sin, the Kabuki.
Yeah.
You know, tonight you get the great Kabuki, but you know, some nights you get the nerve hold Kabuki.
This is nerve hold Kabuki, but the crowd's into it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because they're legitimately invested in Kabuki as a bad guy, and David Von Erich. So here we go for the blocks it again.
I really don't like David's Texas trunks.
Yeah, me neither. They're too tight.
Yeah, and just the Texas part looks so cheap.
I know,
like it was made by somebody who just like a friend or something. Well, I can do it, I guess, and like not professionally done.
Kerry did it.
Yeah, or he did it, or David.
With a glue gun.
David did it himself. It's like, it shouldn't be off-center like that.
It shouldn't be Texas, but over here.
Bothering me. And it's not very clear often. You can't even make it out exactly.
I only want it on one butt cheek, not both.
Yeah. It's just amateur hour.
Texas. It's so funny because you don't see other people like you don't see like Bam Bam Bigelow didn't have New Jersey on his ass, you know, or or Art Barr didn't have, you know, the Seattle or whatever. But in Texas, no, which we gotta let you know that I'm from Texas and I love Texas. By the way, the show's in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, he's tearing at his eyes with. See, I always like that bit about Kabuki that he's not allowed to use the mist, but if he sprays it in his hands, later on he'll do an eye move, and that means you're getting some of the mist in the eyes. I always thought that was a neat little touch with Kabuki.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? I always read that the green stuff was like powdered soup.
Powdered soup, really?
Yeah, yeah, and food coloring.
I always thought it'd be like, how did they wrestle with that, you know, in their mouths?
Oh, I always wondered about that. I couldn't remember. I'm like, how does Great Muta spit three different colors?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, how'd that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, it's similar to like the guys who would keep blades under their tongues and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, but I hear about guys like, I chew gum while I wrestle. Wow. Yeah. Seems like you choke.
Yeah.
But then it's like Bret Hart, I just carry around my razor blade in my mouth while I wrestle.
Yeah.
How? That's unreal.
I know.
Here we go. Now the claw.
Third time. No, he's still can't get it on. Bronco's down and out.
Do you notice that Bronco bumps almost more than David Manning does?
He does.
Here we go. Oh, he got him with the soup. Look at that. Santa's saying, you got what you deserved, asshole.
Comical selling by Armando saying. Bronco saw it, though. He's throwing it out.
Yes, it's a moral victory for the Von Erichs.
Yeah. Maybe that's the end of a scene right there. No.
Well, I know Bill Mercer is going on and says, it appears David has won the belt. Well, no, he hasn't. I'm like, there isn't a belt.
No.
It's the all Asian. There's no belts with the all Asian titles. Yes, it's a moral victory.
Dallas was the place.
Oh, God! I just saw Hussein's ass!
Ass crack.
Hussein's plumber ass is on television right now. Oh,
his
God.
Lasting legacy to professional wrestling.
It's the last thing you see of Armand Hussein. His hairy ass crack. If that is the way he goes out, then couldn't be a possibly better way than literally showing ass on a wrestling show.
Yeah. More. Let it stop. Okay. Here's the replay. Look at this master of professional wrestling, Armand Hussein.
Yep. It's a great spot, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I was shitting on Hussein here. That's a great spot.
Tried and true. And the sell was okay.
I see, I would prefer that to end in a pinfall. And I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, I hate shitty endings with no pinfalls. But that spot usually lends itself to a pinfall. And that's where it really pops that spot. To that lead to another fucking DQ?
Yeah.
On this fucking show?
Gotta continue the never-ending Von Erich Kabuki feud.
Ugh. No wins. Nobody wins on this show. Ever. Next week, it's Reunion Arena and Star Wars, the night it all turns around. Here's Bill Mercer. Look at the size of that fucking microphone on it, that headset. That's giant. Equipment.
Running down the card. It's crazy that they would show the whole thing. Like,
why is he wearing headphones? Who's in his ears?
Fritz, of course.
Fritz is literally standing next to him yelling at him. Why not just a microphone in front of you? Like Gordon Sully. Gordon Sully didn't wear a giant contraption on his head.
True.
Why is he wearing a giant? There's no reason for it.
Yeah, it's probably not even plugged in or anything.
Third time. It's not even plugged in. Oh, look, he's... Okay. He spit his whistle out.
Yeah.
And he got it. I will give Hussein that. He spit his whistle out as a part of the sell job. Okay. I have to give credit where credit is due. Give the devil his due. Still sucks, but... I'll just grow a mustache. What the fuck?
I know. It is an odd choice.
It just makes his mouth, with the lines coming down from his nose to his mouth,
yeah.
It just accentuates. He looks like Dr. Zaius.
I was going to say, yeah, he looks definitely like Dr. Zaius.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
Planet of the Apes, Bill Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Grant and Earl Goodrich. The first time I saw credits with a wrestling show, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with WWF, and there wasn't any of that shit.
Just ended. Yeah.
I remember seeing Crockett for the first time, and then seeing, you know, executive producer Virgil Runnels, and I knew who that was. And I was like, oh, wow, this is different. Oz Coleman on camera. Electronic Graphics, Mark von Sayer.
A real Nazi German. A real Nazi.
There's a real Nazi. Oh, he's also the floor director.
I've never...
Tony Saldi is the Grits.
Interesting.
I love that ends with Carrie looking at the referee like he's confused. What?
I don't think I've ever watched the whole credits. I usually stop it as soon as they kick in.
Because of course you do.
All right.
Kelly, that was fun.
Yeah. That was something.
It was something, all right.
Next week, though, everything changes. The biggest show in the territory's history, arguably. Christmas night, Flair, Carrie, a cage, David Manning, referee, Michael Hayes, referee. Something's going to happen. I just know it.
Yeah, we got the end of the tag tournament as well.
Oh,
the
free yes.
David, that plays into it. That plays into it, too.
Yes.
That's all part of the story as well. It's fantastic. I remember watching that when I was a kid on Classic World Class, and it blew my mind back then. I was like,
Ric Flair, I'm proud to be the cloud. I'll let you know that I'm proud to be the cloud. But after I get hold of you, Ric Flair, there'll be no cloud because I'll be the champion.
Let's just back up a second.
For a supercard.
See, shows like this, fans, because we know some of you listen to this and don't even watch this stuff, which I don't know how you do it, but God bless you. But this is, I think, Kelly, I think we can agree maybe this is, if we want to explore the idea of doing a Patreon thing, you'll get more shows like this, where one guy doesn't show up and we just yell at bad television for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely worth charging somebody $10.99
a month. $2 a month.
$2, okay.
Two. I'd be willing to do it for $2 a month.
Okay. Pay
for a candy ball.
Pack of cigarettes after 10 episodes or so.
There you go.
All right. Yes, we'll be back, and it's Star Wars time again, folks, next time on WorldCast.
This next question, Jim, on Twitter using the hashtag CornyDriveThru is from Brandon Mars. Is there any truth to the rumor that Ric Flair and Kerry Von Erich wrestled a one-hour Broadway completely wasted? Flair drunk and Kerry on cocaine?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10. Listening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. The sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within.